Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. The Final Keystone by John Kevin Crowley is the story of us, a compilation of significant historical events that singularly and collectively are a call for correction. The real question is, what is the true correction called for? We are all on the pathway to awakening. This book is designed to stimulate the mind to question everything. This book challenges every reader to question their thoughts, beliefs, and their judgments so that we stop repeating the same unlearned lesson over and over. John Kevin Crowley is a specialized storyteller in the unique theater of the courtroom, where he gets to be the writer, director, actor, and producer of a unique play that unfolds in the quiet, contemplative confines of a courtroom, while at the same time having a street fight with the opposite side, a place you really don't want to be, but nonetheless, we have agreed to resolve our disputes through the legal process. Born in Palo Alto in 1950, raised in San Jose, living in the heart of the new Renaissance, Silicon Valley, which is void of the inquisitive mind of the old Renaissance. John has been a trial attorney for the past 44 years, has the scars, bruises, and broken bones to prove it. He didn't want to write a book about his cases, but wanted to write a book about the story of us, to advocate for the case of mankind, to answer the true call for correction before it's too late. John Kevin Crowley, author of The Final Keystone, is our guest on This Week in America. John, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, Rick, for inviting me. I'm good. Looking forward to this little encounter with you. I think it's going to be interesting for your reader or your listeners.
Well, it will be interesting for your reader for the book and our listeners to hear you talk about the book. I love what you've done with this, the questions you pose, and it really gets us thinking where we are headed. The book is The Final Keystone. John Kevin Crowley is our guest. I'll give you information on how to purchase the book as we go through the program. First of all, you really look good today. You had to be in the courtroom at some time today. You look like you're ready to stand before a judge or jury.
Yeah, I had a court appearance this morning. I have a very active trial calendar, so I have to wear my costume on occasion.
Well, you wear it well. With all of your background, I mentioned everything that you've done, and you're a very talented writer as well. How did you end up being a trial attorney for now close to 45 years?
Oh, my God. This is good. This will take a couple of minutes to explain. So around 4 years ago, I'm sitting around wondering how it was that I ended up in this profession, which is kind of a crazy profession. Like you introduced, you get to be the writer, director, and actor.
Yeah, I love that.
Unique play. So I go back. I was raised in a pretty good Irish Catholic household. My dad was a law officer, a police officer. I went through 8 years of the nuns, and I ended up in a Jesuit all boys high school, which was spectacular for me. It's exactly what I needed. I was 15 or 16. I was only interested in two things. One, playing sports. I was a real late bloomer. I was a skinny kid, no development, no muscle development, no nothing. And so I got cut from every team because the guys in the school, I'm sure they were from the Marines. They were muscular and big, and I couldn't compete. And the other interesting thing I was interested in is chasing skirts. Thank God I never caught one. I wouldn't know what to do. So I'm floundering. I am this 15-year-old depressed kid wondering what life's about. I have to study Latin. I had to study physics. I had to study biology, and we also had to study classic literature. The last thing I wanted to do was study classic literature. We had to read Shakespeare.
Oh, yes.
So the Jesuits would know 10 minutes before you got to the classroom if you did your homework or not. So you got to do it. So I got to read it. So I ended up reading the story of The Merchant of Venice. Okay, so I'm reading the story, and I forget the guy's one of the hero's names, but let's just call him Joseph. Joseph was a merchant. He needed money to funnel his next enterprise, so no one would loan him the money. He ended up in the ghetto, which was a place in Venice, and that's where the name came from, ghetto. It was the Jewish area in Venice, and he encounters Shylock. And he goes, Shylock, I need some money. And Shylock goes, what a deal. I'll loan you the money. And he goes, okay, well, what are the terms? He says, You don't have to pay me any interest. I only want the pound of flesh if you don't pay me back. And Joseph's thinking, this is a guaranteed deal. This is your thing, guaranteed. Whenever you have an investment where someone tells you it's guaranteed, two words, run away. But Joseph didn't. He goes, oh, okay, this is not a problem. So he takes the money. And of course, the ship either gets shipwrecked or the pirates take it or something. I forget what it was, but he can't pay Shylock back. So I'm reading this thing. I'm going, oh, this is kind of interesting. So Shylock goes, so Joseph goes, I'll pay you three times the money. Shylock goes, no, I want my pound of flesh. So they end up in court. So a little background, Joseph's best friend was married to Pasha. Pasha was beautiful, intelligent, wealthy, royal, and she hears the plight of her husband's friend. And she goes, okay, no problem. So the next scene you have, notice in the court that an attorney from Rome is going to come and represent Joseph. So they take a time out. Pasha shows up dressed as a man. This is the 1500s. Shakespeare has her dressing up a man and defending Joseph. So I'm thinking, oh man, this is pretty cool. So she starts cross-examining Shylock. And I'm getting kind of interested in this because I was doing a little theater as a kid. I liked to do theater, but I didn't like the people. So I'm getting interested in this theatrical play. So she starts cross-examining Shylock. She goes, Shylock, did you loan him the money? He says, yes, I did. Did he pay you back? No, he didn't. You have the right to a pound of flesh. And she says, take your sword and take the pound of flesh. And I'm going, oh my God, you're the worst lawyer in the world. You're terrible. You're giving away the case. Oh my God, this is terrible. So as Shylock's taking his sword, he's going to pound it into the chest of Joseph. She goes, wait, Shylock, wait. I noticed that in the contract, you have the right to pound of flesh and you should take your pound of flesh. But it doesn't say a word about blood. If you can't distinguish the flesh from the blood, you get nothing. And by the way, under Venice law, if you as a Jew drop one drop of Christian blood, you lose your life, go have a party. That blew my mind. I don't know if you ever saw The Kingsman, the movies, The Kingsman, which is like a cartoon movie. It's really funny where their heads explode. That's what happened to me. I absolutely fell in love with the goddess of justice and the theater of the courtroom and got sucked into, from that point on, I was 15 or 16, I said, I got to be a trial attorney because you have the drama, you have the theater, oh, yes. You have intellect, and Rick, every case from that time on since today, I look for the distinction between the blood and the flesh, allegorically, of course, and it's always there. And when you find it, it's over. Cross-examination is a case. So that's what sucked me into.
That's amazing. And here is maybe the most valuable lesson you've learned about law. And it wasn't in law school. It was like a 15-year-old that stumbled about this assignment that you had that you really didn't want to do in the first place.
Freaking Shakespeare.
Yeah. And here you are, an attorney, successful attorney, and guided by this principle from studying Shakespeare back so many years ago. If you're joining us in the program, John Kevin Crowley, that's C-R-O-W-L-E-Y. The book is The Final Keystone. He's our guest on the program. Check out the video version of this on YouTube. You'll find it on our website. You'll find it by Googling it. Great picture of the city in the background and the nice suit that John's got on. I see how he won the court case this morning. So what possessed you to write this book, The Final Keystone? Where did this come from?
Okay, this is kind of interesting too. So like 20 years ago, my wife and I went to get our numbers read by a numerologist. It's the first time I'd done that, and it was pretty interesting. And I guess I got good numbers. And the numerologist said, "Well, you're going to have to write a book. You have all these special numbers and all this." And I'm thinking at the time, the last thing I ever want to do is write a freaking book. I want to be a trial attorney. I want to represent people. I want to talk to juries. I want to do that. So I completely forgot about it. Fast forward about 20 years. Did you ever play with marbles?
Oh, sure. Sure.
Okay. So I like to play with marbles, and we'd have the Peeries and the Steelies and the Cat Eyes. And so imagine a tin can with marbles being dropped in it every once in a while. There's a marble, and it starts, it starts to accumulate a lot of marbles in your tin can. Well, the tin can was my brain, and the marbles were all these thoughts that were going on, and they're rattling back and forth, and it's just, there's so much noise in there. I said, I got to write this stuff down. So I started writing down, you know, the Greeks and Plato and all these connections, and how there was this connection between the spiritual world and the physical world, and so that's what motivated me. And by the way, the marbles are coming back again, so I have to, you know, there's more stuff there. But it was that irritation that forced me to write this thing, and it took quite a while to put it together, but that's the reason why.
Well, it's well thought out. It's well laid out. It's very easy to read, and the light bulb keeps going off as you read, and these points are being made by John Kevin Crowley, our guest on the program. What is the title, The Final Keystone? Tell me the significance of that, how you came up with that.
It is the history of the American Revolution is spectacular. And I've fallen in love with that and the evolution. So it's the evolution of King George III, who was a tyrant. I think we should have July 3rd as King George III Day, because but for King George being a tyrant and oppressing the colonists, there would never have been a revolution. And if there would never have been a constitution, and then there would have never been a final keystone, we would be under the British rule. So I give gratitude to King George III because of his attitude. So you have this revolution, you have constitution, you have the convention, and what was birthed from that is the constitution, the greatest contract ever devised in the history of mankind between its people and its government, bar none. It is divine intervention. I've studied this. It's the most spectacular document. Now, it kind of goes sideways once in a while, but it's a system that's self-correcting. So what was the final keystone in our government? So you have the archway. You have the legislative, you have the executive, and you have the judicial. So the final keystone is the story of Mulberry versus Madison.
Oh, yes.
And that is a spectacular story. So John Marshall was the Supreme Court justice at the time, and he knew the players. He knew John Adams, and he knew Jefferson and all their conflicts. So Adams is a second president. He runs for reelection. He gets beat by his vice president, Jefferson. And before Adams leaves office, he appoints all his buddy Federalist judges. Does this sound familiar?
Okay.
he appoints all his buddies. Jefferson gets in there, and he's from a different party. He goes, no way, I'm pulling all your appointments. So Madison, unfortunately, in those days you had to, you know, ride your horse and actually physically deliver it. Madison didn't get his delivery, so he sues. He files what's called a writ of mandamus, and the Supreme Court doesn't take writs of mandamus. There's only one way to get to the Supreme Court. That's a writ of certiorari, and they accept it or they don't accept it. But Marshall knew what was going on. The two presidents were acting just like, you know, the royals from England and all their little battles. So he decided to take this case and write it. And basically what he said, both of you are wrong. Both of you are acting like children. You're bringing in the English rule. You're acting like a tyrant. We're not having none of it. The Supreme Court is the sole determiner of the constitutional conduct of the executive branch and the legislative branch. And that's what you got to live with. That was the final keystone that set into place the equal distribution of power and weight in the arch of our government. It is spectacular. John Marshall should be one of the heroes of the revolution. So that's why this is called the final keystone, because that was the solidifying balance of all of the acts of the executor, or the legislative branch goes sideways and passes something, or the executive branch says, oh, we're going to do this or we're going to do that. The Supreme Court is the determiner of that.
Keystone. The Final Keystone is the title of the book. I'm just thinking through what John was saying. There's so much there. Such a fascinating conversation that's going by so quickly. So pick up the book and read it for yourself, and you'll be inspired. A lot of great information, a lot that you've never heard of. There are ideas that will get you thinking. One of the things that comes up, who is the hero of the Wizard of Oz? That's something that let's see what your answer is here.
Well, you tell me. Everybody knows the story of the hero of the Wizard of Oz. You tell me who's the hero.
It's been a while since I've read that. I'm not sure how I would put it in that category.
Okay. Well, I ask people this all the time. They say, it's not the wizard. It's not Dorothy. It's not the Tin Man. You know who the hero, and this is a spec. This is so metaphysical. So the story goes, Dorothy, there's a tornado or a hurricane. She cracks her head and falls asleep, and she's dreaming a dream, right?
Yes.
And in the dream, everybody's going and they're going to go to the great wizard so Dorothy can find her way home. The lion can find his courage. The Tin Man can find his brain or his heart. And the Scarecrow can find his brain. So they're all going to the great wizard. So they're in front of the wizard, and he's puffing and puffing and blowing and doing all this stuff. The hero of the story pulls back the curtain. The hero is Toto, the dog. The dog pulls back the curtain, and everybody sees the fraud of the wizard. They go, oh, my God, you have no power. And he's huffing and puffing. And they realize, and this is so key, when we pull back the curtain of the fraud, the realization, it dawns on you that, and what the lesson was, Dorothy knew her way home. The lion had the courage within him. The scarecrow had the brain, and the Tin Man had the heart. It was all within them. And that was, once that realization happened, nowhere in that story do any of those individuals go back and say, oh, you know, what didn't work too good? Where's the wizard? Tell me how to do this. That is such a key thing. So that's metaphysical. That's almost, and I talk a lot about, if this physical environment is a dream and we're dreaming a dream, then who's the hero of the dream? And the story of Toto being the hero, it's akin, and I'm going to digress a second, because this is kind of metaphysical and a little out there. If this is a dream that we're dreaming, the physical world, the phenomenal world, the universe of the universe is a dream, and God is not of this essence, God's not here. So it's analogous to, if you have a child, the child is asleep, dreaming a dream. You don't know what the dream is, but you make sure the child's safe. You make sure, you know, you have the covers, and yes, you know the child will wake up from the dream. So the child could be dreaming, oh, my God, this tiger's chasing me. Dad, come and help me, come and help me. You don't even know that's happening, right? So if you use that analogy between us and God, God sends into the dream his language. That's all that's here, is language. It's called unconditional love. That's the language of God. Let's just go assume this and work with me on this. So Toto is the manifestation of unconditional love. Your dog would do anything for you. So that's why Toto is the hero. He is the manifestation of unconditional love. Pulls back the curtain of the great Oz and exposes the fraud. And once you realize it, you don't have to kill the fraud, the Oz. You don't have to work against it. You just go, oh, okay, that no longer has power over me. So that's why I love that significant child story as being, yes, this metaphysical story of us.
You know, I was going to pick Toto, but actually that was far down the list of those to pick. Boy, time is going by so quickly. So much to talk about. So much to read in The Final Keystone by John Kevin Crowley. In the book, you quote Cicero about the enemy within. What is our present day enemy within?
Oh, great question. Okay. Let me ask you this. What is this?
Yeah, from a distance, it looks like a dollar bill, possibly.
Wrong. What is this?
That looks like maybe a quarter, a change of some kind, a coin.
Wrong. This is a piece of paper with ink on it. This is a metal disc.
Okay.
Now, what gives it value? There's nothing there. There's a promise. So, and what we do for these is very, very interesting. So I raise some of the stuff in the book of what we do for these paper slips and metal discs, how we seek to accumulate and preserve them, but they're nothing. You can't eat this. You can't wear it. You can't hop on it and fly to New York. It's a piece of paper. What gives it value? And this is really crucial. What gives this value is our promise, is our word. That's how powerful our word is. We agree. Rick, we agree. I give you this dollar, you're going to give me a dollar worth of stuff.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
So the power of our agreement is so magnificent, but we get distracted. We get confused. We get blinded. We're asleep to the truth of it. So we just walk around and we, you know, want to collect this stuff and we forget who we are. So it's definitely a distraction. So the enemy within is the attention, the false attention we give to this. So almost every case that you can find, I don't care if it's a civil case or a criminal case or a revolution or all the stuff I talk about in the book goes down to some relationship with this. So we sell our souls, we get trade, we get divorced, we do all these things, and at somewhere the enemy within is the false character of our belief in these paper slips and metal discs. Now, if you just understand that, you can step away. I'm not saying, you know, find another currency or fight against the dollar at all. Just understand what it is. It's the power of our agreement. And when you get that, you don't have to have such an attachment to these paper slips.
Well, and yes. And boy, there's so many great thoughts that are expressed quite eloquently by our guest on the program, John Kevin Crowley, in the book, The Final Keystone. I got a minute or so left here. What do you hope the message is that we get from reading The Final Keystone? I mentioned it's a call for action. It's a story of us. It's where we determine where do we go from here. What do you hope we get? The takeaway is?
Okay, so I was preparing for this interview, and I'm very gracious of the interview, and I was thinking, well, it's almost like I'm the advocate for humanity. I'm the lawyer for Homo sapiens, and this is my opening statement, right?
Oh, yeah, exactly,
My opening statement is, and I have to tell you, my client's a little crazy. My client's a little sideways. On the one hand, my client is so spectacular, the power and the miracles and the love my client can produce is beyond the physical. But on the other hand, my client's insane. They love to kill each other. They create this perception that, they have this perception, it turns into a belief and a justification. And then once it gets justified, you got the people that say, well, the world's flat. You got the people that say the world's round. And once they justify, they have a war. And you see that it's going on all the time.
Yes.
So the insanity, my this book is a call for correction. Wake up. My client, wake up and understand that we're running out of time. We have the power to destroy ourselves. And I don't have a good feeling about my client. My feeling is the level of pain has to be so high that the intention to change is created. But if the level of pain, if the intention doesn't match the level of pain, I think we're doomed. So that's my assessment of my client. That's why this book is out there, a call for correction. Wake up and understand that maybe what you think you know, what you perceive is wrong. Question everything. Be open to receive messages from within.
That's so important. And boy, we could spend hours talking about this. Read the book. You'll enjoy the book. You'll be thinking after you read the book. I was going to close by saying, where do we go from here? A question you pose, that we're going in the right direction. I get the impression that we maybe need to make a course correction here quickly.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, I don't have a whole lot of time left to do this. The book is excellent. John, it's been such a pleasure having you on the program. I liked having you here. I like looking at your suit for the last half hour. Very, very impressive. I love watching you in action. I'd love to see you in the courtroom. It's such a great presentation that you're making in this book, The Final Keystone, John Kevin Crowley, that's C-R-O-W-L-E-Y, the book available wherever books are sold, Amazon.com. Crown880press.com. I thank them for arranging our conversation today. John, it's been fun. I really appreciate this. I just wish we had hours to talk instead of minutes. Hopefully we can at some point. Thank you for being with us on the program.
Thank you so much.
It has been our pleasure. John Kevin Crowley, C-R-O-W-L-E-Y. The book is The Final Keystone. It's available wherever books are sold. It is a must read. And now, information on John, and you can link on to his Amazon page by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.